Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Checkout Podcast. You can get where you get your podcasts. Where do you get your podcasts? Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. All of our shows archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org. Produced at WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. What you're listening to right now is the singer and composer Luciana Sosa leading a student ensemble, the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors, for a special performance at Cafe 939, The Red Room, at Berklee College of Music in Boston. Luciana graduated from Berklee College of Music in 1988. And some of the other musicians in her class, the artistic director of this student ensemble, Danilo Perez, the pianist, and also in her class, the saxophonist Donnie McCaslin. Today, we are going to rewind the clock with Sosa, reflecting back in her teenage years when she moved from São Paulo to study at Berklee College of Music to where she is now, a Grammy Award-winning composer and vocalist. Most of the music we're going to be featuring today is from her latest recording called The Book of Longing. And as you'll hear, Sosa gets right to it, tapping into her country's ethos known as saudade, a concept, a feeling, an idea that many Brazilian singers and songwriters deal with that give you that sadness, but in a way that feels good, kind of like the blues. Well, I'm really excited to share this podcast with you because Sosa and I break down just what is saudade, what does it mean, and where does it come from. This entire performance, Luciana Sosa with the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors. We have video of their entire performance at Cafe 939, The Red Room, and you can go watch it by going to checkoutjazz.org. I should also mention, if you listen to this podcast in time, on Friday, August 29th, Luciana Sosa will be appearing at the Detroit Jazz Festival, first with Danilo Perez, with his global big band. And then on Saturday, Luciana Sosa performs with the Yellow Jackets. And then Sunday, wrapping up the festival with her own ensemble playing the music from The Book of Longing. Stay with us for our absolutely delightful and insightful conversation with Luciana Sosa. Thanks for checking in. We're here at the Checkout Live at Berklee, your alma mater, class of 1988.
Oh, God. You had to research that, did you?
Luciana Sosa, the Grammy Award-winning, has released so many incredible albums. The latest recording, which we'll be hearing a couple of selections on tonight's program, called The Book of Longing. Luciana Sosa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
So here you are back in Boston. I mean, did you come directly from Sao Paulo, Brazil, to Berklee College of Music?
In 1985, yes, I did.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was 17, and I had a brother who was going to Berklee at the time. So that opened a lot of doors for me and sort of facilitated my way through navigating through the school and the teachers. And he really guided me and said, you should study with so-and-so. And he was really the one who said, you shouldn't be a voice major. You should be a jazz composition major. You should go and learn to write music because that will give you all the tools you need in order to communicate. And it was incredible because it really made all the difference for me. Even though I still don't know anything about music, it really sort of, you know, it made sure that I knew a language in a different way, not only as a singer, but as someone who wants to communicate a whole world, you know.
Well, let's hear you communicate with your performance. We'll take you on stage. This is from your newest recording, These Things. Thank you.
These are the words we've come to call our gods. These are the books we read. These are the books we read. These are the days of long, long nights. These are the tables we set out to feed.
These are the tears we shed. These are.
you penned the lyrics and the composition here. One of the few tunes, because most of this material has lyrics from source material, a range of poets, which we'll get into a little bit later. But these things, your compositional skills being shown to the world here. Strong music, strong composition, Luciana.
Thank you.
It's rare that you see a vocalist of any kind have a strength in composition. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're like, I mean, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I feel like there's oftentimes a big gap between singers and the compositions, and you're this kind of rare breed.
I think in jazz, it's happening more and more. I think singers are really getting into it. Of course, I pay a lot of attention to the tradition of songwriting, where you do have incredible songwriters who write music. Like, how could you say that someone like Joni Mitchell is not a great composer and a great vocalist and a great songwriter? So she's doing it all, writing poems, writing songs. But you're right, in jazz, I think singers have traditionally taken the role of singing and interpreting and leaving everything else to either the arranger or other composers. So it feels good to feel like I'm at the forefront of something, even though I don't consider myself that. I just wake up in the morning and say, feel like writing a song. Let's go write a song.
These are the duties of the heart. You're also penning lyrics next to lyrics penned by Leonard Cohen, which we'll get to in a moment. But does that give you pause or hesitation? I mean, you're basically weighing your lyrics up with these like giants.
I think you could say I'm very pretentious and ambitious at the same time. But, you know, something happened to me also after I turned maybe I would say 40, 45 into 50, where you start to see your life and your steps as something where you do need to take certain chances, and you need to recognize also that you want to be there, that you don't want to make excuses anymore. So do I feel like I belong in the, you know, pantheon of, you know, poetry like Leonard Cohen? Of course not. I mean, he is, and I look up to him, but I'm inspired. And I really want to show my voice as a singer, as a writer, and as a writer of words. And I specifically actually felt, Simon, that piece was pretty complete. I don't think it's a masterpiece, anything like Leonard would write, but I think it pairs well with the rest of the poetry on the record, and I think it stands on its own. So I have to be a little ballsy and say I like it, and I feel like it belongs there.
These are the wars we fight. And you approach this song as kind of a list, as Jobim did with Waters of March, which we'll also hear a little bit later in this program.
Yeah.
Was that a reference point, or when you're thinking about the penning the lyrics, like what was the sort of concept behind these things?
I didn't set out to. You know, I have several notebooks, so I didn't set out to do it, but I'm sure I'm highly influenced, and I'm so glad you picked up on it, because it is a list of, I wouldn't say necessarily a list of things, but it's a list of statements. These are these things, and these are that, and these are that. As if you're walking through the world and recognizing that these things exist, and they are there for a certain reason, and they influence you. So it started as a poem, I just started writing some lines and pairing them together, and then it stood on its own as a poem, and it became a poem. I didn't do it as an assignment, so it just kind of happened that way. And then the poetry was done, and then I set it to music.
Not to like scare you, but let's pair this with Waters of March, since we're here at Berklee and you're performing it here with the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors.
A song that, in my opinion, says more about Brazil than any other song that I ever have ever tried to sing, and I've been learning it for about 48 years now. Every time I sing it, it reveals something to me about Brazil, but also about myself and about humanity and what we lack, what we've learned, and what we fail to learn consistently. We're really good about not learning, as much as we think that we're good about learning. My hope for all of us is that as we approach the year 2020, that we all can make a difference. In every way that we live. And I think the composer of this piece, Antônio Carlos Jobim, certainly made a difference, not only for Brazil by writing this great music, but he was the very first composer in the way that I see in pop music to really look at the environment. sliver of glass. It is like the sun. It is night, it is death. It's a trap, it's a gun. The oak when it blooms, the fox in the brush, the knot in the wood, the song of a thrush, the wood of the wind, the cliff, a fall, a scratch, a lump, nothing at all. It's the wind blowing free. It's the end of the slope. It's a beam, it's a void, it's a hunch, it's a hope. And the riverbank talks of the waters of March. It's the end of the strain, it's the joy in your heart.
The foot, the ground, the flesh and the bone, the beat of the road, a slingshot stone, a fish, a flash, a silvery glow, a fight, a bed, the range of the bow, the battle of the well, the end of life, the dismay in the face, it's a loss, it's a fight, a spear, a spike, a snake, a drive, it's a drip, it's a drive, it's the end of the tale, the truckload of bricks, the morning light, the shot of a gun in the dead of the night, a mile, a mast, a thrust, a bump, it's a girl, it's a rhyme, it's a cold, it's the mumps, the plot of the house, the body in bed, and the car that got stuck. It's the mud, a float, a drift, a fly, the wing, a hug, a quail, the promise of spring.
The riverbank talks of the waters of March, it's the end of our strain, it's the joy in your heart.
Thank you.
distance the shelves row three shadows of blue, and the riverbank talks of the waters of March, the promise of life in your heart.
Luciana Sosa, the vocalist. We're in Brazil. We just heard Waters of March. Leonard Cohen, who's a Quebecois, is not from the country of Sodage per se. But it's funny, like I'm curious to know where you hear the concept of Sodage and music all over the world. And Leonard Cohen would be a kind of a source, right?
Oh, absolutely. Other people have said to me that this record, because it's called The Book of Longing, but this saudade feeling, this sort of melancholic, but it has a bit of hope. I think Leonard, of many of the poets that I read, and also as a songwriter, he expresses what we feel as humans. And one of the major things that we all feel as humans is a sense of loss and
of lacking, of wanting,
of longing for something, really. And a lot of us, when we read poetry, we're reading poetry because we are in love or out of love or brokenhearted or all of the above. And
but you're not suffering from, well, you're like happily married and in love,
right.
So you're in love all the time.
But I'm also, you know, I think as humans, even when we are happy, we've all experienced hardship and heartache. And so I think a part of myself is always not in sadness, but in this feeling of longing, of saudade for my parents who have left, or my country I've left behind. And I'm okay embracing this feeling, because I also feel like if you don't touch it, if you're never there, then when you are there, you're in trouble, because you're not familiar with it. It is a part of humanity. It's a part of our humanity individually to experience these feelings. So I'm pretty happy to sing ballads. Does that make sense to anyone? Happy to sing a ballad? Happy to go to a place where you are with yourself, and it's introspective and it's reflective. And that's why I think poetry is such a vehicle, such a window for these things, for feelings, you know.
The Paris sky is blue and bright. I want to fly with all my might. The Paris sky is blue. The chains are strong, but so am I, but so am I, but so am I.
Well, I really did want to like go deeper into this concept of sodaji because I've thought a lot about it. And the more that I've been acquainted with that concept, it makes me think the same thing sort of experience can happen when you listen to the blues, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really like a parallel kind of experience.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sodaji is also a very explicitly Brazilian experience.
We claim
and concept.
It. We claim it. That it's ours, that it doesn't happen in any, this word doesn't happen in any other, it doesn't appear in any other language except for the Portuguese language. But the Portuguese express it in fado, for example, right? We express it in, even in happy music, you can have a feeling of saudade.
Exactly.
Even in exuberant, you know, samba that goes down the avenue that everybody's dancing and communing to, you can still feel a feeling of saudade. Because again, it is inside of you.
One thing that I admire specifically about your singing is the lack of vibrato and just the sound, the tones that you create. It's invigorating and it's full of life, but it's sad too.
Right.
And it's like a sound. And I feel like a lot of Brazilian artists have that sound.
And yeah, I think it's inherited. It's just in the water we drink, I think.
So is sodaje a conditioned thing, or is it actually born out of Brazilians? And also, is there sort of like a political history or cultural political history, sort of like in the way, you know, swing is scrutinized in jazz? Like if it doesn't swing, it's not jazz. So my question for you, for a Brazilian artist performing samba or whatever, if it doesn't have sodaje, is it Brazilian music? Do those kind of conversations exist?
No, I don't think people are really conscious of this. I mean, or really talking about it. I think people from the outside looking into Brazil and looking into Brazilian music worry about it more than we do. I think you're just born there and you have the ability to, as I said, open up, because the crack is always there, as Leonard says, right? For you to feel things, you have to be cracked. Otherwise, nothing goes in or nothing comes out, right? So you have to be a little broken. And that brokenness happens in our country, maybe the way we were colonized, maybe the way it was so brutal and exploratory as opposed to really a nation-building kind of colonization.
Well, can you explain that? Go into that a little deeper?
Yeah, sure. So we were colonized by the Portuguese. Clearly, they were, you know, going out into the world, as were other countries at the time, like France, like Spain, like England, you know, trying to find a route outside of the Mediterranean into India, right, to get spices. And this is late 1400s, right? So they get to Brazil and they find this country with the native people are naked, beautiful, living in this land of paradise, really. And for 350 years, we were a colony of Portugal. And for 350 years, they explored the country. They removed the Brazil wood, and that's why we're called Brazil, because they took that from us. They took all the gold, the coffee, sugar, I mean, just everything. And they moved it back to the continent, which was where Portugal was. And they didn't really colonize the country. They brought Africans to the country for 350 years. 3.5 million Africans came to Brazil. So we became a country of Africans and natives. And instead of, like, you know, the colonization that happened in the U.S. with Britain populated the U.S. and also taxed the people here and then took the tax money back. The Portuguese took things from us and really never gave it back. So I have a bit of a chip on my shoulder about that. But I think Brazilians do. But I think it created a rupture in the country. And I think the way you are colonized kind of helped define. And also the way we mixed in Brazil, like the fact that I am a brown person, truly. I am a mixture of everything. I'm a mixture of Portuguese and Eastern European, and then definitely black and very, very African roots I have it in my family. But the way we mixed in Brazil, it's unlike what happened all over Latin America. So I think we are who we are because of all these things that contributed. And then over the centuries, as we define and keep defining ourselves as a country, there's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of, you know, Brazilians, the majority of Brazilians are poor and live in very, very difficult conditions. So even though we have a joy as a people, we are also plagued by corruption and, you know, and deception from corruption and government after government that keeps failing us. So that creates something in the feeling of the country. But I also think that our music is exuberant, beautiful, and joyous. And so we live in this dichotomy between happy and sad. And in between these two things, I think that's where we find this sense of saudade.
Well, let's listen to an up-tempo. Maybe you can hear some saudade in here. I'm not sure. But we'll go to the sounds of Brazil regardless at the fair. This is original music by you,
yes.
Luciana Sosa, and you, is this channeling some kind of like carnival feel, or what is this?
Yeah, it really is. It's about a small town in Brazil. We still have these towns where the fair comes to town, you know, this big sort of circus comes through, and they have a Ferris wheel and then some other, you know, equipment where people can go in and...
So not the literal carnival, like the carnival in the way that Americans perceive it.
Exactly. So a little carnival comes through town and they bring things. But what happens is that, of course, then it becomes a meeting point for everyone to come, the old, the young, the rich, the poor, men and women, and also the animals that are, you know, stray animals through town. They all come and hoping to get a piece of some kind of food that's going to be dropped. And it's just, it's so interesting. I've been to a couple in Brazil, a couple of these, and it's a community, and it's unlike anything else because it still has a feeling of small town, but also a feeling of there's something different happening to us tonight. And it's really, it's lovely, and it's noisy and loud and just wonderful.
it's kind of cool, Luciana, after enjoying your records for all these years. As my buddy at the New York Times, Gio Rosanello, said, you're a musician that doesn't need adornment. Yet here we are at your alma mater with 9 other musicians on stage with you.
I know, it's crazy. It's completely crazy. These days, you know, I
you're
go on
adorned.
Stage. These days, I go on stage with 2 other people, bass and guitar, and I play drums myself. I mean, my stuff is so quiet. All of a sudden, I'm with 9 people on stage, and I'm just loving it because they bring such a beautiful energy. And we even have 2 singers with me because I also felt that it was important to share with vocalists what it feels like to be on stage. They can learn so much from just being around me, how I lead, how I coach, how I rehearse, all these techniques that I've taken years developing because I was taught well. I want to also pass that on, and I'm very inspired by these students. I have to say, especially this year, I have I think the class is very singular. They're very, very special. They're very open-minded and joyous and beautiful, and they go. You just say, come, and they jump on it.
And we have musicians from all over, Kazakhstan, Poland, Palestine even, which is just remarkable, right?
Yeah, and you wouldn't be the Global Institute if it wasn't, right, global. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm the only Brazilian, though. I'm the only one with a passport.
I've spent some considerable time in Brazil, and it's quite frankly one of my favorite places on earth for some of the reasons we've mentioned, specifically just how open the culture is to experiences.
Right.
You know, you go to a concert on the Sugarloaf in Rio de Janeiro. I saw Paulinho da Viola there.
Great.
And it was like, I couldn't even hear him sing.
Because everyone is singing along. Yeah, because everyone knows every melody and every lyric, yeah.
But that's like a really strange thing from a foreigner coming in. You don't break the fourth wall. You let the performers do their thing, and
I think
we
you
enjoy.
Said it. I think the word they used is so wonderful is this idea of Brazilians want to experience it, right? And so even going back to the idea of sadness or longing, it's in you. So go to it, you know, embrace it, lift it up instead of hiding it and then getting depressed. Don't get depressed. Let it accompany you. Let it be your companion for life.
And everybody is a singer. Everybody is an
percussionist.
Artist.
Everybody's a dancer. Yeah, that's right.
So when did you know you wanted to do this professionally?
Well, you know, I grew up in a family of musicians, so it was we all wanted to be involved in music somehow. I still find myself quite shy about it. I mean, I'm not this exuberant singer that jumps on stage and, you know, my thing is quieter. But I knew that I wanted to share music, and I knew that I wanted to share my voice. But crucial to my formation was what was coming to Boston again, you know, getting away from Brazil was also very important for me to help define or keep defining, because it's still not defined, but to keep searching really for an individual voice, an authentic voice. I think if I had stayed in Brazil, Simon, my music would be very different because I would feel the pressures also of being a part of that thing. And jazz, what it does is that it opens every possible door. So everything is possible and unfinished.
Luciana Sosa here at our alma mater on the Checkout Live 8th season. Can you believe it? We've been doing it that long. And who was in your class in 1988? Any other musicians you're proud of?
1988, yeah, of course, Danilo Perez.
Wait, you are on his recording on Motherland.
I am on Motherland, and I think I'm on another one. I forget the name of it now. I should remember it. But I'm on 2 of his records. And
who also, just side note, happens to be the artistic director of the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors.
Right, and then another phenomenal musician who you're familiar with him is Donnie McCaslin. We were all in the same class.
Donnie.
We came in, and then a bunch of other people. Edsel Gomez. I mean, there were lots of incredible musicians. But these two are the ones that I've kept in touch, and we actually were in Motherland together, the 3 of us.
And check Donnie's career out. That must have been a massive when you saw him get the Bowie thing.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
You're just like, what? I think that
I was exactly like that. What? And the happiest to see that each of us have you know, have navigated life. We are now in our 50s, I can say that, because we're all the same age. But we have all traveled through these different paths and have so much in common, yet we have each a different voice, you know, that we are trying to present and have kept our minds open. I mean, the work Donnie has done on his own as a composer and with Bowie, of course, with Maria Schneider, and Danilo with Wayne Shorter, being in his quartet for all these years, and what that has done to his own music is incredible.
So when you're singing all of this melancholic stuff, does it affect you personally? Because obviously, yes, when you sing the blues, it's going to make you feel better. However, you can also stay in this kind of melancholic state and it can maybe affect your brain waves in maybe not the most advantageous ways. I don't know.
No, I have to say it's an interesting question. I've thought about it because only the very, very first time I actually felt affected by it was I had a very good friend, a wonderful bass player from Brazil, passed away a few months ago, and he passed away on the day I had a show in New York at the Jazz Standard. And I heard the news in the morning, and I carried myself through the day feeling like I shouldn't cry and I shouldn't feel. And then I sang the whole show. And at the end of Waters of March, it was my last piece I was doing with Chico Pinheiro and Scott Colley on bass at the Jazz Standard. I sang the whole night, and at the very last piece, at the very last word of Waters of March, I broke down and started crying. It's never happened to me, and probably will never happen again. In really 35 years of being on stage, pretty much every week, all the time, and being so, I don't want to say controlled, but feeling in control of certain things about me and also being able to access emotion and also push it down when I need to, just don't go there. This day was the only day that I kind of lost it. So if you ask me, does it affect me? It just makes me have more empathy for people. The fact that I know that others carry suffering also, that others carry hardship, that people walking down the street. I mean, I think about the windows that I look into when I'm traveling. If I stay in a hotel, there's a hotel across the street or a building, and I imagine these lives. And they mean something to me, and I care about humanity. I care about our planet. So these things affect me, but I always in a way that, again, going back to Brazil, feels hopeful and feels like you wanna do something about it. You wanna take action and become political and also become someone who's helpful and serves society and serves others. So the feeling of service is something that comes from, I think, for Brazilians, from this feeling of sharing this shared feeling of humanity and melancholy.
We're at a period in humanity and our evolution with the advancements of social media and our mobile devices that we are almost collectively as a human species experiencing a level of sodaji that we don't know yet. We don't know how it's affecting us. You know, everyone's missing something. There's a lack of empathy, maybe.
Right, and that's where I'm going to prescribe poetry for everyone, because poetry is really a meditation. For you work in radio. Radio is a companion, right? It's something that can illuminate music, but also stories, and it can bring you to a world where it's not visual, so you have to imagine, and you can be alone in a room and have a great friend, which is a radio show. For many years, I didn't have a television when I lived in New York City, so my thing was to just listen to the radio all the time. So, of course, I was a lot on NPR, but I was a lot on the shows that had music, and those became my friends, you know? So I think all of us can turn into the things that bring us closer to who we are, and radio would be one of them, and I'm not just plugging in because I'm on the radio, but I'm really meaning this. When I'm in my car, I'm on the radio. I have the radio on, whether it's music or a talk show that's informing me about something. But again, poetry, I would say that for me, the window has really been to go back to words and thoughts of others that bring me closer to who I am and who I want to be.
Well, let's go into the poetry of Leonard Cohen then. You are performing the lyrics of one of his poems that you have written music for. That poem was entitled Nightingale. This is called Night Song. Take us to a verse in here.
So just the opening lines. I built my house beside the wood so I could hear you singing. for me as a singer, that jumps out. I mean, of course, he's speaking of a bird, but beyond that, he's speaking of a voice, right? I'll place myself next to you so I can hear you. We all want to be heard. And so these images come to me. And then he's so direct and honest in his poetry. I want to use that word again, authentic, but also honest from a place of digging. He has spent endless hours refining his poetry as words, but also refining his thoughts and coming to his truest self. And that's something that intrigues me. And I find that when he speaks as a poet, I see myself in there. And I tell friends that I feel possessed by his poetry. Like I read it and it's mine. And then I have to go set it to music because it's mine. Come on. These are my words, you know. I know it sounds a little sick, but it's kind of how I feel about it. And that's happened to me with Elizabeth Bishop and E.E. Cummings, where the poem literally comes to me. And then I'm a slave to it. I'm like, okay, I'll do whatever you want. I'll set it to music. I'll record it. I'll go into debt. I'll do whatever.
Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you and hearing this music here back at your alma mater, Berklee College of Music. I won't say the class, don't worry.
You did already.
I did already. Luciana Soso with the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors on Night Song.
I built my house beside the water so I could hear you singing. And it was sweet and it was good and love was all beginning. Fairly went my nightingale, it was long ago I found you. Now all your songs of beauty fail, the forest closes round you. The sun goes down behind the veil, 'tis now that you would call me. So rest in peace, my nightingale, beneath the branch of holly. Fare thee well, my nightingale, I live but to be near you. Though you are singing somewhere still, I can't. Oh,
soprano and tenor Luke. And on voices with me tonight, Gyro. And Malvina. And Luciana Sola, you've been wonderful. Thank you, Marco Pignataro, for putting this together. Thank you so much.
Night Song. Original music by the vocalist Luciana Sosa, with lyrics by the great Leonard Cohen. This version recorded with the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors, recorded at Cafe 939, The Red Room, at Berklee College of Music. I'd like to give a huge shout out to everyone that makes this series possible in Boston. That's you, Rob Hayes, Michael Borghida, the staff at Berklee Video Services, and the folks at The Burn. Reggie Lofton, David Hughes. And again, if you want to watch this song, Nightingale or Night Song, go to our website, checkoutjazz.org, where we've archived this entire performance on video with Luciana Sosa and the Berklee Global Jazz Ambassadors. And don't forget, Luciana Sosa is appearing 3 times this weekend, beginning Friday, August 29th, at the Detroit Jazz Festival, kicking off with the Danilo Perez Global Big Band, followed by an appearance with the Yellow Jackets, and then leading her own group performing the Book of Longing. If you want to find out more information, just go to our website, Luciana Sosa. And of course, you know we are on social media. At Checkout Jazz is our Twitter handle. We're on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at Simon Rentner. And definitely subscribe to the podcast version of this program, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.